you sought for? We seek for a lot of different things, but what have you sought for? Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was seek to have children. Maybe it was seek to have a great job, a beautiful home, seek to make a lot of money, seek to have the right car. Seeking. You ever lose your wallet? Is there an intensity in the search for that? Or your keys? Oh, what did I do with my keys? Seeking. The intensity of seeking depends on what's being sought. And all of us say an answer. How much effort do we put into what we seek for? It depends on the importance of that which we seek. It sometimes is on the payback. To seek this will mean this for me. Seeking. How much effort do we put into it? We have the story of the widow who had lost a coin in her house, and she was intensely seeking for that coin because it was related to the kingdom of God. And she swept the house and she worked feverishly to find that coin. And when she did, she gathered her neighbors all together and they rejoiced. There was an intensity in the seeking. I want to draw your attention to Psalm 105. And this morning we're going to talk about seeking God. What does it mean to seek God? We're told to seek God in His righteousness and kingdom and all with all our heart, and things that we need will all be added to us. But chapter 1, or Psalm 105, verse 4 is the emphasis. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this living word we have before us. We thank you for the living spirit you have within us. Do teach us. Make us good students of your word today, not just to learn it intellectually, but to learn it spiritually. Illumine us to the truth so we will live the truth. And we'll leave here today more intense and more driven to seek you and your righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Seeking the Lord and His strength. Whenever we're down and out, we're going to seek God. We need something, we're going to seek God. But when we kind of things are going okay, the intensity of seeking God drops off some. It's okay, we don't need to seek God here as intense. But over here, when I needed money to pay my mortgage or I needed this, I sought God. Or a loved one was sick, and I sought God, and I sought God, and I sought God. And I put some effort into it. Again, what is the goal we're seeking? Now, seeking is an interesting word because in the New Testament, Jesus tells us to keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and keep on asking. There are present active participles, which means you are in a condition of constantly knocking, constantly seeking, and constantly asking. So it seems to be with God, seek me with all your heart. There's no drawback. There's no half-hearted seeking. It's all or nothing. How intense is our searches, both in difficult times and in times of rejoicing, do we seek God out? So seek the Lord and His strength. And keep in mind, I need to point this out, the word Lord is God's personal name that He gave Israel. So this is a personal, seek God, not as some object, but as a person who loves you, a person who created you in His image for a relationship with Him, driven to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. He has no weaknesses. We talked about this last week. He is holy because He's 100% complete. And we can seek Him. When we read in Psalm 23, again, this is a review, the Lord is my personal, Yahweh is my personal shepherd. I shall not lack anything. Again, is what it says in Hebrew. Why? Because God doesn't lack anything. And when I'm in a relationship with the God who created me in His image, I will not lack anything. So we need to seek God. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with God's command to seek Him. Because if we're not seeking God, what are we seeking? To make ourselves happy? Seeking ourselves. The second part of this verse, which lays parallel to the first part, is seek his face continuously. Now, you wonder what is going on here. We got the personal name God, seek the Lord, and his strength, so things that we need. And then it just says, seek his face continually. Well, that first word seek and the second word seek are two different Hebrew words. The first one is to seek with intensity, to study, to investigate, to pour your heart into. It's not a half-hearted seeking. It's like, I got to get an A on this test, and I'm going to do everything I can to do. I'm going to sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of seeking. We're driven to seek because of the importance of the goal. And oftentimes, when we're seeking the strength of God, we're driven because we need his strength. The second seek is a more personal seek. This is the seek you use when you are seeking a person. And notice what he says, seek his face continually. Now, I know some of your translations may say presence. It's the word face. And the reason it's the word face is because in Hebrew, the development of words, especially about people, come from the face. Because the face is one of the most expressive things on you. You can lift up your countenance, you can see happiness, you can see sadness and depression, discouragement, you can see fear, you can see arrogance, all these things your face does. It's important. When you're seeking the face of God, you're seeking a personal audience with a God who created you in his image. He can see you, he can hear you, and he can talk to you and teach you. That's the concept. So they were big on the word face. In our English world, we like to use the word presence. But I always think about that. I like it in the Hebrew a little better because it's a little more personable. Seeking a face of an individual. And if God turns his face away from you, that's not a good thing. So face is very expressive. So we're going to use it as a baseline context about face. And the second word, seek, there is seek him as you're seeking a person. How do you seek God? Is he some kind of force? Is he some kind of power? Is he some kind of abstract to you? He is a person. He has intellect and emotion and will. And we were created in his image. We need to seek that holy, complete, lacking in nothing God and seek his face because we want to see God to see us, want that face-to-face reaction and interchange. So this seeking the Lord with intensity, with all your heart and his strength, seeking his face as if he's a person in whom we are created in his image, that is the context which we want to do. So let's pick a person out of the Old Testament. Go to Exodus chapter 33. And we're going to, a person who at first wasn't seeking to know God, but eventually began to seek God in a very powerful way. So Exodus 33. And that person that we're going to talk about this morning is Moses. God first calls Moses. Moses is tending sheep. Moses is not looking for God. He's looking after sheep. Kind of God's training for people that are going to rule over Israel are shepherds. Because sheep need shepherding. We all need shepherding. And so David was a shepherd. Moses was shepherding sheep. In a rugged place on a mountain. And he goes by and he sees a light shining and he needs to turn by and look at it because it's a bush. It's not burning up. He's just kind of wonder. He's curious. So in his curiosity, he moves over and he gets with this close to this bush, and this bush repeats Moses' name, which makes it very personal. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. He's on holy ground because God is in his presence. And this bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. And so there, God sought out Moses. Moses wasn't seeking God. Now, as God interviews Moses or challenges Moses with a call in his life, Moses starts making up all kinds of excuses, and you guys are familiar with that. I can't do what you're asking me to do, God. I just can't talk. I can't do this. I can't do that. But what God was teaching him, when you seek me, you're seeking my strength, and you're seeking my face. And my face will be there watching you, listening to you, speaking to you, and my strength is yours. And so as it turns out, what's Moses do? Even though he's full of excuses, God says, it's not who you are, Moses. It's who I am. Seek me and my strength. And so what does Moses do? He follows God's commands. And I thought it was interesting, as a teacher, God says, now I want you to go talk to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And what was Moses' first attempt? From a human point of view, was failure. Moses didn't let him go. In fact, Moses had his heart hardened, a little bit stiffer. It's like sometimes you witness them people and you start talking to them about faith, their hearts can be hardened just by the word of the gospel. It's kind of interesting. But with that said, Moses stays with God, and eventually the people are delivered by great miracles and wonders. So he's got all these people that he needs help with, and so he seeks out God. He has a place that he has outside the camp. It's called a tent of meeting. Moses put it out there. And whenever Moses went in to speak with God, a column of fire and a column of smoke would come down on top of that tent of meeting. Moses would go in there and he'd talk with God face to face as a man talks with a friend. That's a beauty of talking with God. It's as friend to friend. Moses used to speak with God face to face. I'm generally not one that likes phones. I like to talk to people face to face. I'm not a Facebook person. That's not really face to face. But with that said, there's something about being in the presence of someone and talking to them face to face. I'm kind of losing that in our culture today. But Moses talked with God face to face. And what's interesting, the people would all be looking around and they'd see Moses go in that tent. They'd stand in the front of their tents, and Moses go in there, they'd fall down and worship God. So there was a lot of power with that fellowship that Moses had. So with that said, I'm going to accelerate to chapter 33, in that the people have just disobeyed God, and they had the golden calf thing, and Moses had to deal with that with God. But let's see, where do I want to go? What we want to talk about is God's going to say some things to Moses, and Moses is going to like it. Verse 1 of chapter 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and your people whom you have brought from the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To your descendants I will give it. And I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go in your midst, because you are an obstinate people, lest I destroy you on the way. Now, one thing I got to say, because there are those out there, and my Sunday school class knows I'm on this, who say we don't need the Old Testament anymore because people aren't attracted to a God who's going to destroy people. Keep in mind that God is anthropomorphized in the Scripture. He knows all things, and he's not up there getting all angry because we aren't doing what he wants us to do. That is just the way. Those terms are just used so we as humans can understand that God is not happy with behavior. God holds us accountable. God is holy. All those things. But he's not up there blowing his top when we don't do what he wants us to do. He doesn't have to. He knows all things. He knows what we're going to do. He knows what we're going to think. So those anthropomorphisms are there so that we can understand God's displeasure, God's holiness, or whatever God's teaching us there. So anyway, Moses is really concerned about God not going up in your midst. In fact, when the people heard this in verse 4, this sad word, it was a difficult, evil thing to them. They went into mourning and none of them put on their ornaments. They were really shook that God wasn't going to, an angel wasn't good enough for Moses, and it's not even good enough for the people. even though the power of the angel, God said he'll drive out the Canaanites. He'll do the same thing. But that they needed more than that. Moses needed more than that. Go down to verse 12. Verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See that thou dost say to me, bring up this people. But thou thyself hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moreover, thou hast said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight." There's a lot of stuff going on here. But Moses is concerned about, you haven't told me who you're going to send. Now, he told him that it was going to be an angel, but that wasn't good enough. You haven't told me who you're going to send. So Moses is really concerned about this. And then on the end of that verse, we have, "You have known me by name." This is what God said to Moses. "You have known me by name. I have known you by name." How close is that to know somebody by name? I know it's very important when you enter a classroom that you learn everybody's name, because it becomes personal. You can't go through a whole semester and not know your student's name. You got to know their name whenever you're working with people, whether in the workplace, whether in school, whether on an athletic field. You got to know who you're working with. There's a draw there to know somebody by name. So when God is saying to Moses, "You know me by name," that's a close relationship, to know God by name. And to have Moses to know, God knows Moses by name. Now we've got this closeness. So Moses is speaking to God face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. God knows Moses' name, and Moses knows God's name, and they're really, really close. You'd think that would satisfy Moses. Man, Moses is close to God. God is close to Moses. And so then he begins to say, now, verse 13, "Now therefore I pray," this is a concern, "if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I may find favor in thy sight. Consider this too, this nation is thy people." Notice what he asked for. You ever find yourself asking God this? No matter how close the relationship Moses has with God, he's seeking more. He's not satisfied with where he is at this current time. Now keep in mind, burning bush, deliverance out of Egypt, all the miracles, all the wonders, the people complaining about water, Moses, God giving them water through the work of Moses, all of these things. You would think that Moses and God, that Moses is satisfied with his relationship with God. Maybe you're the same. I've been on a good relationship with God. I work with my devotions every day. I pray every day. I am concerned for others. I try to serve God the best I can in the power of His Spirit. Are you satisfied? Moses isn't satisfied at all. And God has brought a difficult time into his life, and his challenge is, take these people up from here, and I'll send my angel with you. Because if I go in the midst of them, I'll probably wipe them out. And so Moses is concerned. Moses is not satisfied with the angel of God. He wants God himself. So notice what he says. He wants to know thy ways. Well, Moses has had a time to learn about God's ways. Isn't it important that he knows his way? And why does he want to know? So that I may find favor in thy sight. He is so concerned about God's favor that he wants God to teach him his ways so that he can know God and be pleasing to God. And he's not satisfied. So as we continue on in verse 14, he said, "My presence," or in Hebrew it says, "my face shall go with you, and I will give you rest." My face will go with you. My eyes, my ears, my mouth will go with you, and I will give you rest. What did Jesus say? "Come unto me, all ye are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest." The presence, the personal presence of God is the key to having rest in God. You don't have to worry about the Canaanites, Moses, because my face is going to go with you. and you're going to have rest on every side. What a wonderful statement for God to say, my face is going to go with you. Verse 15, then he said to him, if thy face does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. It's kind of interesting. God just told him that his face was going to go with him. Now Moses is saying, if your face doesn't go, I'm not going. We're not going anywhere. See the thirstiness of Moses to know God. Show me your ways so that I can find your favor. I want to do what is pleasing in your sight. God, this is a serious thing to me. We see that Moses is actually seeking the face of God. He's seeking the strength of God, as Psalm 105 tells us. He's seeking Yahweh and his strength. He's seeking his face continually. He is continually seeking the face of God. In fact, he even tells the reader, if your face isn't going, I'm not going. How are we? Are we like that? God, if you're not in this, I'm not going. God, if you don't show me that you're in whatever it is you want me to do, I'm not going. It's so vitally important to be thirsty for God, to find this God out. Now, verse 16. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in thy sight and thy people? Is it not by going with us that the other people who live upon the face of the earth, that thy people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? You know, Israel, God was calling them out into the wilderness to worship him, but he was calling them out there to make them a holy nation, a light to the Gentile nations. That was God's purpose for all this. He was going to make the Jews a light to the Gentiles, and he was going to distinguish them. You'll see in Deuteronomy chapter 4 where the people were going to be distinguished because God was going to be in their midst. What nation is great like our nation whose God is in the midst of them, who can be called on at any time? Whose God is full of wisdom and understanding, because look at this wonderful law that God has given to his people. You know, and we see this when the Queen of Sheba goes to see Solomon, and she's so impressed with the wisdom that he has, the wisdom that comes from God, and he sees the glory of God and all of this in Israel. And it's the same. So at that time, Israel is a light to the world. And so here, Moses is reminding God, we need to be distinguished from all the other nations. So go with us. Your presence will make that happen. Okay, so we get to 17, and the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing which you have spoken, for you have found favor. You know, by the way, the word favor is the word grace. In my sight, and I have known you by name. So he's got favor, he's got knowing. I'm going to do this thing which you have spoken. Well, what did he ask him to do? Show me your ways. He's going to make me know your ways. That's kind of interesting. And he gives him the reason why. I have known you by name, and you have found favor in my sight. Personal relationship that Moses has with God. Because Moses is not satisfied where he is at this current time. How long does it take to develop a relationship with a person? How long does it take to develop a relationship with God? Then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. All of a sudden it seems to change. Show me your ways that I may know how to please you, that I can find favor in your sight. Then he says, God says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to show you my ways. But then Moses says, show me thy glory. Now the question is the ways of God different than his glory? No, they're the same thing. Whatever God does, it stems from his glory. So Moses recognizes this. He's going all the way to the top to have God show him his glory. And in verse 19, he said, I myself, this is God talking, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. It's kind of, man, he's going to do what Moses is at. Moses desires to know God to the nth degree, and so God's going to do it. But notice what God says. Moses has to show me thy glory. God says, I'll show all my goodness. There's no difference between the goodness of God and the glory of God. The goodness of God is great. God is good. So God's talking about a lot of the same terms, but he's his ways, his glory, and his goodness are all the same thing. And he's going to make them proclaim them before Moses. Then he says this, to whom I will be gracious, to whom I'll be gracious, I'll show compassion on whom I'll show compassion. God's free will choice. He's going to be gracious to Moses. He's going to have compassion on Moses. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. This is kind of interesting. The glory of God emanating from the face of God, no one can see. He dwells in unapproachable light. There seems to be an intensity of glory coming from the face of God. But this is where Moses wants to go, the face of God. But God says, you can't see my face, because if you see my face, you'll die. No man has ever seen my face. Now, when he talks about Moses speaking to him face to face, is as a friend speaks with a friend. It's not that he speaks with God in the emanating power of his glory. So he says this. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on a rock. And I will come about while my glory is passing by. I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away from you, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. So we see what Moses is looking for in this relationship. And God says, I can't show you my face, but I'll let you get even closer. I'll let you see me, my afterglow as I walk by. And so as we continue down through the story, and in verse chapter 34, they're redoing the covenant, and they're remaking the covenant, what was broken when Moses threw the covenant down. First time it was broken into pieces, showing the people had broke the covenant. Now he's reestablishing the covenant. And he does actually pass by. Look at verse 5. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there with him. And he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and in truth. What is that called? The goodness of God. But the goodness of God is so intense, it's also the glory of God. And it also is the ways of God. That's what he does. Now, then he says this, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity and transgressions and sin, iniquity and transgressions and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Wow. Now, is that the goodness of God? Is God's judgment considered goodness? Need to think about that. Is justice important? Is justice good? Do we cry out for justice? When we see injustices in the world, do we cry out for justice? Yes, justice is good, and we cry out for it. Do we cry out for God's justice? Because God's justice is the wages of sin is death. But you notice the verse continues, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Don't take lightly the kindness or the severity of God. Because he's holy, and because he's holy, he has to judge sin. We don't like it, especially when we know that maybe we're the recipient of it, or maybe we know a loved one doesn't know the Lord and we're afraid that they'll pass away before they trust Christ. We think about all these things. But in reality, is the justice of God the goodness of God? Because what happens if God is not just? What's it called in our country when we don't carry out justice? It's called lawlessness. What is the Antichrist's name? Son of lawlessness. So the goodness of God is seen in his justice. Even though when we look at God being just, it could mean some severity to people we love. But right now, we think about it, God is also, what are those things that God is first? Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. We also have access to that. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is always that ever-extended general call of God to come to him, confess your sins. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's access to this goodness of God. But there's the goodness of God in forgiveness, and there's the goodness of God in justice. And we're really uncomfortable with that part of it. But what do? Then we fall to the feet of a God who loves us, who died for us. His justice was extracted upon Jesus Christ. When Christ was on the cross, you had the brutality of people, but we also had the wrath of the Father on his own Son. Was it good that Christ was crucified? Yes, because through that goodness of God to give his Son a gift of love as a sacrifice for our sin meant the redemption of not only mankind, but his bodily resurrection caused the ability of the creation to be made new. So Moses wants to know God to the nth degree, and God says, I'll do it. You're not going to see my face because my glory emanates from my face, but you're going to see my goodness, and you're going to see my ways. And those ways, compassion, graciousness, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. But also, he's a God of justice. He has to be, because if he's not, he's a God of lawlessness, and he's got the power to really do some damage in the lawless area. So thank God he's holy, he's righteous, he's compassionate, he's gracious, but he is also just. And justice with God is goodness. So Moses wants to get really close to God, and there's some things as he gets close to God he has to think about. He has to begin to understand. But by the grace of God, he does. So the challenge for us, as we think about this story, is to pursue God, to really seek out God. Seek God and his righteousness. Seek him out. Really know. Lord, help me to seek you every day. Cause me to seek you every day. I need to see your ways. I need to see your glory. I need to see your goodness. And they're all there. And it's there. We got to pursue it. And we want God to teach us these things so they can change our life. And by the way, the process of being made holy, which we call sanctification, that's exactly what it is. Are we seeking God, or are we just kind of cruising through life? Now, it is true, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, which is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God will use all things to sanctify you and to make you holy. Because he's a great teacher. And that's also the goodness of God. To be able to take the trials of life, which disappoint us so, discourage us so, and depress us so, and take those very things that we're trying to escape and mold us and shape us into the image of God, which is a good thing. So I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about that. A God who loves us. Are we thirsting after the God who created us in his image? Are we thirsting for his holiness? Are we thirsting for his glory, his goodness, and his ways, and not stop? Are we really continually seeking God's face? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Moses. We saw that as the story continues, Father, his face began to glow, where he had to put a veil over his face when he talked to the children of Israel. as we pursue knowing you in all your ways and your glory and your goodness, we will be changed people. And people will notice that change. Some people will be afraid of that change. Others will embrace that change. Lord, we want to be like our Savior, Jesus Christ. For one day, we will see him like he is, for we will be like him. Let us pursue full-heartedly a relationship with a holy God who created us in his image, and that image in which we are being restored to each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, you are a great God, and you sent us your Son, Jesus, who is a great Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto you but by him. Let us thirst for you. Let us seek you with all our heart. We need to know you, for you have known us by name, and we commit our lives to that. Be with us this week as we walk by faith. Give us strength, give us courage, give us the faith to be pleasing to you in all we say and do. And may we know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and have a great day.